Thank you so much for leading us in worship. And I don't know about you, but I was so moved at the song, Word of God Speak. When we come to church and we come to God's Word, we are not anticipating the words of man. It is not as if your pastor sits in his office and looks for a clever turn of the phrase. No, we humble ourselves and we pray. We put ourselves under the Word and we ask God to speak by His Word. And when we do that, then every time we come as God's people to this place, that God has something He wants to say. And we come with hearts that are full in anticipation to listen to God's Word. So thank you for leading us. I want to invite you to pray with me as we look at Acts chapter 6. You can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. It's where we'll begin this morning. But would you first of all join your hearts with me in thoughts in a moment of prayer? Father, once again we come to you. You hear the prayer of your people. We come as your church, and for those who are here as our guests, we welcome them, and together we come and we bow our knee. We do come to your word, and we simply say, God, would you open our eyes to see and our ears to hear? Would you speak, and we will listen to your voice. Father, I pray the prayer we've been learning in Colossians, that you will fill us with the knowledge of your will so that we will walk in a manner worthy of you. That we would please you in all that we do, not just to know these words, but to live them and to walk in the truth. Jesus said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Father, would you by your Spirit guide us and then empower us to walk in this truth? That in all we do, we would bear fruit and we would grow in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, Father, we simply say, speak, Lord, for again, your servants are listening. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you were here last week, but we handed out a preaching schedule for the fall. And over the last number of weeks and even months, as I was praying, Lord, where would you have us turn in the fall? We are still continuing in our study of the book of Colossians. And on every communion Sunday, we will look at the book of John, the Gospel of John, coming back to Jesus. But as we start the new year, as we start in September, and we begin to say, what are we going to be about as a church? What is our vision and our mission going to be? And how would God lead us as a church? So as we come to these verses, we ask this question. And you can see, if you have a preaching schedule in front of you, that there are a number of verses. We already know what Christ has called the church to do and to be. Jesus, in his final words, says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. We are called to make disciples, and in our preaching schedule you will see what kind of disciples are we called to make. Disciples that worship, that actually fill up praise to God. And I can tell you this morning, when I'm sitting here in this chair and I hear the choir blasting behind me, it is like surround sound. We should take turns sitting on the platform and listen to the praise. And my prayer is that this auditorium is filled, not just with song, but with authentic worship and praise. Disciples who worship. Disciples who fellowship are connected with one another. That we don't just come to a service. We are not just building a service. We want to build the church. We have relationships with each other. Disciples that are growing. That we understand that God is speaking and directing our lives. And he wants us to grow up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. And disciples who are serving. That we are not spectators. We don't just come and sit in the stands and watch a few people serve us. No, we serve. God has called you and put you in the body to serve, and he's gifted you and given you strength to serve. And finally, disciples who multiply. I believe this is where God is taking us. This is our vision that's already given to us in Scripture. And over these weeks and months ahead, we are asking God to teach us fully what that means. So you need to pray for me as your pastor, that as I study, that I let the Word of God speak. Now, before we get there, I believe that this sermon that we will hear today, as God has been teaching me, is the foundation. It is the foundation on which everything else is built, and this is where we begin. If you have your Bibles and you haven't found it yet, please turn to chapter 6 of Acts and hear these words describing the church near the very beginning of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples." Now, this is probably the first Baptist church congregational meeting. There was over 5,000 people already at this time. And they gathered all the believers together, the full number of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, and said, "It is not right for us to give up preaching the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. In the book of Acts, all the way through, we see the connection between prayer and God's word. If you have an afternoon sometime and you're bored with daytime TV, which should be all of us, take your Bible and in one sitting, get a big coffee and sit down and read through the book of Acts. You will be amazed. It is the power of God's people who cry out to God in prayer. And the description of the church is this very thing, that the word of God increases, that the gospel takes root. It is not just prayer, and it is not just preaching. It is Spirit-empowered preaching as God's people cry out in prayer. And all the way through the book of Acts, these two are inseparable. Let me show you just the first few chapters. Turn to chapter 1. The very first beginning in verse 14. "And these, all the disciples who were gathered in the upper room, and these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer." This was not a passive, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." We know these prayers. It wasn't the mealtime, "Come Lord Jesus, be my guest." Those things are not wrong. It is passionate devotion to God. Can you imagine being in that upper room? Praying that God would come and do this amazing work that is the foundation for the rest of the book of Acts. "And in those days," verse 15, "Peter stood up among the brothers, a company of persons, about 120. And he said, 'Brothers, the scriptures must be fulfilled.'" And what are they doing? They're following the word. They're directed by God's word. Devoted to prayer and devoted to God's word. Whatever the word says is how we will be led. And this is important, because we are saying, what is our vision? What is the mission that God has for his church? You can see it in chapter 2 of Acts. Look at verse 41, this powerful description. "And those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and breaking of bread, and to prayer." their fellowship and their breaking of bread was centered around this worship of Jesus, the message of the teaching of the apostles, devoted to the word. And the very end of the verse, and devoted to prayer. Chapter 3 is the same. They're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Verse 1, and then in verse 18, they're describing and preaching proclamation that the prophets spoke by, God spoke by the mouth of the prophets. Verse 21, God spoke by the mouth of the prophets. Verse 24, all the prophets have spoken from Samuel. They are preaching God's word and devoted to prayer. We see the same thing in Acts chapter 4. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men grew to 5,000. And as you read Acts chapter 4, they are preaching fearlessly. And they're hauled off before the Sanhedrin. You know Acts chapter 4. They threaten them not to teach anymore in the name of Jesus in verse 18. And Peter answers with great God, Spirit-empowered boldness, doesn't he? He says, you judge whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you, or rather to God. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. And they threatened them, and they sent them out. And what is the very first thing the disciples did? What did they do? They prayed. And they gathered together, it says in verse 23, and when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God. And they said, Sovereign Lord. See, they understood everything we've been studying in the book of Colossians. They knew who it was they were calling upon. My dear church family, if God would do a work in us, we must begin with prayer to the sovereign God of the universe. It is not our programs. It is not all our human efforts. This is our foundation. Before we look at all that he calls us to do, unless we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the very word of God, it is just our own human effort. They cry out to God, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. They understood Colossians. Down in verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant that your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. What are they praying about? God's word. You see how the foundation, it's inseparable. It's prayer and God's word. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. When we come to chapter 4 of Colossians in the new year, it says, pray that God would open a door for his word. This is our foundation. We see the prayer in chapter 4 moves all the way through chapter 5 of Acts. It comes right down. They're preaching, even though they're being arrested and threatened and they're beat. At the end of chapter 5, look at verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus, the Messiah is Jesus. And then we come to our text. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Now in those days when the disciples were increasing, let me ask you this. Why were the disciples increasing? We see it right here in these verses we read. Go back to chapter 2, verse 41. So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added about 3,000 souls that day. The disciples were increasing because the word of God was increasing. That the disciples were declaring it, the apostles were declaring the word of God, and many believed. That's exactly what we find in chapter 4. Look at verse 4. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000 people. Why were the disciples increasing? Because the word of God was increasing. And isn't that exactly what we find in chapter 6? We read verse 1 to 7. Look at verse 7 in our passage. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. How is it that people will come to faith to understand fully the work that Jesus has done on our behalf? How is it that our church will see a harvest of souls when the word of God increases? The only way this will happen is if we will not neglect the word of God. Now, I want to say this without any apology, that my primary responsibility as your pastor is to preach God's word. I am doing the best I can to help us get organized. I want to see our nursery come together. I want to see our Sunday school have volunteers, people that are willing to teach our children. I want to see our youth cared for and called out to do something that is beyond themselves, to love the Lord with all their heart. I want to see our young adults come together and challenge each other spiritually when so many in our culture have gone soft. But in all these ministries, if we neglect the word of God, it will fall apart. It's very practical for us as a church. It simply means we need all hands on deck. It means that if God has called you to faith, and by faith you believe, then you are called to serve in this body. And over the weeks ahead, I will call you to serve. But our priority is God's word. In here in chapter 6 of Acts, it is not just God's word. Look at the comparison between verse 2 and 4. It is not right for us to give up preaching the word of God in order to serve tables. Now remember what's going on here. This is only a few weeks after the upper room discourse. This is only a few weeks after Jesus did what with his disciples in John 13? He washed their feet. He served them. He took the towel, and then he said to the disciples, if I, your Lord and Master, have served you, this is what you must do. As I have done, you do also. We serve one another. And these very disciples, it's not that they're not supposed to serve tables. I am to serve you in every way. But I'm not to neglect God's word in order to serve you. And this goes for every aspect of our ministry. That we see God's word come alive in our choir. And as we pray and we minister to one another, in our children's, in our youth, in our young adults. And in verse 4, it says, we will not, in the New American Standard, we will not neglect the word of God. And in verse 4, you expect it to say, so guess what we'll do instead? We'll devote ourselves to the word of God. But what does it say? We'll devote ourselves to prayer and the word of God. No wonder the gospel grows with great power. Just like chapter 4, prayer with boldness to speak God's word is a prayer that depends on God to do this work. My dear friends, this is our foundation. We must be a praying church. No new pastor will build the church. It is Jesus who said, I will build my church. By prayer as a church, we are moving towards dependence on God. We are saying, God, you must work. We ask you to work. And how is it that our church will grow and have a testimony and a witness? It is as God adds to our number those who are being saved. The message of Acts chapter 6 is our foundation. That as the word of God increases, as we as God's people are called to prayer, that God will do this work. The sermon title is Praying According to God's Word. We are not just praying according to what we want. We are bowing our knees to the God who is all wisdom, to the God who is all perfection, to the God who is all knowing, to the God of the universe who is all powerful, to the sovereign Lord over all. And we are simply his people. And we are saying, have your way in your church. We are praying that God's purposes would be accomplished among us. That means we surrender our agendas. It means we ask God to lead us as his people. Even as I did at the very beginning of this service, God, what would you have us do and become? What is your vision for First Baptist Church? I want to turn to one more passage that has been a prayer for Leon and I since the first day we came to First Baptist. It's John chapter 15. Probably familiar verses. Please turn there in your Bibles. I want you to read it with your own eyes. In the Gospel of John chapter 15, these are the words of Jesus. He begins verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 5, he repeats it again. I am the true vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you believe that? Do we dare to think that we could give it a try without God? Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. We might be able to have a very organized church. We might have a management style of church that emphasizes human effort and business acumen, but it will not be the life-transforming power of God among us. And I would dare say this at the potential of offending you. Please hear the truth of this. If it is just our effort, it is not the church of God. It is the church of men. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we cry out to God in prayer. We say, God, what is it you would have us be? Fill our hearts and our minds with your word to know your purposes. It is his word and prayer. And look where it goes in verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask. God's word and prayer. And he says, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. And often this is pulled right out of the context. What he is saying is that if you abide in me, if we cling to Christ, if our lifeblood comes from Christ, and his word so fills us. In Colossians, we will hear the words, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And his word abides in us. Then we will ask according to that word. According to Christ, we cling to who gives us life, who is our Lord. And we will pray according to his word. And we know that because in verse 8 he says, and this is what my Father desires, that you will bear much fruit. My dear friends, we are called to pray for much fruit, to pray that God will transform us as his people, that we will have the fruit of the Spirit. And likely that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about pruning branches so they'll grow even more. That as his disciples, we will grow in the fruit of the Spirit. But in verse 8, he also talks about proving who are the true disciples. And as we are called to make disciples of all nations, I believe that it is the fruit of the salvation of the souls that we rub shoulders with every day. This is what God calls us to pray for, much fruit. We will not neglect the word of God. But along with that, we will cry out to God in prayer. Where do we find God's will? We find it in His Word. I believe what God is doing in my heart and in your hearts and our lives as First Baptist Church is already a renewal. He's already renewing us from His Word. What will happen if we bow our knees? What will happen if by the kindness of God's Spirit you hear this word and you and I simply pray, okay, Father, I repent of my sin of prayerlessness. Father, raise up in this church people who pray according to your word. What would happen, like the book of Acts, if we give ourselves as a church all over the place, all through the week, people pray. There are Bible studies and small groups all throughout our church. We pray on Wednesday morning at 7:30 a.m. We pray Wednesday night. You can join us anytime to pray. But in October, I want to call the church to a whole church hour of prayer once a month. What I am asking you to do is ask God to stir your heart and join us, that this church would be a church of prayer built on the foundation of God's word and prayer. We will not neglect God's word. So what will we do instead? We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of His word. Will you pray with me? Father, this is our foundation that you've given us. You've told us to present our requests with thanksgiving, and I am so thankful this morning that Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send the Spirit, the Comforter, who will be with you and guide you into all truth. In the book of Acts, it said, you will wait and receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. Father, we don't always have the right words, but we pray. And as we step into September, into the fall of 2017, we are here because you have called us here. And I pray that you will call your church to prayer. I pray that it would be true in our own lives and as a corporate body. Father, strengthen your people for all that you are about to do as we follow you, as we make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And in His name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand.